This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on community radio 3CR.
News and views from the dole queues.
Fighting back against the poverty machine.
Breadline is broadcast from the stolen unceded lands of the Wurundjeri people. The unfairness of the so-called welfare system disproportionately affects Indigenous people.
Down with mutual obligations.
Raise the rate.
Fair and equal treatment for all.
Yes, you are listening to Breadline, the show of the Unemployed Workers Union. Your presenter this week, again, not next week, but for the last couple of weeks, Hank, that's me. In this show, we're going to look at, I just want to announce the a Work for the Dole protest by the Unemployed Workers Union, which is coming up soon. I'll do a short reflection on why the work they make us seek is actually rubbish, as well as work for the dole. And we might try and think, as I did a couple of weeks ago, from a broader perspective, what solutions there may be. Because it doesn't have to be like this now, does it? Yes, a saira le capitalistas a la laterna. Little theme from the French Revolution, but brought further up to date, because it used to say the aristocracy, but we're saying the capitalists. Now, with that nice tone to start with, I'm going to tell you about the Work for the Dole Hurts Unemployed People announcement of the protest by the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. This is the text verbatim. It says, 10 years ago, 18-year-old Josh Park Fing died at his forced labour Work for the Dole site in Toowoomba. Despite a court finding that Josh's Work for the Dole site did not meet basic safety standards, neither the government nor his for-profit, privately owned employment service provider, NITO, were held accountable. Josh's family weren't even provided normal workers' compensation, as Josh was technically not, quote, an employee. 10 years on, the lessons from Josh's death have not been learnt. The program is still punitive and dangerous. The Albanese government still forces hundreds of thousands of unemployed workers to attend dangerous, pointless, punitive Work for the Dole activities every year or face being permanently cut off their unemployment benefit, which is more than $200 per fortnight below the poverty line. Arguably with prices rising more so than that. I just added that, sorry my friends. To continue with the AUWU announcement, the Albanese government have failed to guarantee the safety of unemployed workers who attend these Work for the Dole programs. According to a recent Senate inquiry testimony, even the Department of Employment accepts that the current mutual obligation system is not safe. Despite this, they refuse to release data about how many injuries there are at work for the Dole sites per year, let alone deaths. Join us, the Australian Unemployed Workers Union, in Thomastown at the office of Andrew Giles, the Labor Minister responsible for work for the Dole, as we demand 1. Justice for Josh and his family. 2. Work for the Dole be permanently shut down. 3. Accountability for those organisations and individuals responsible for Josh's death. 4. A comprehensive investigation into safety at Work for the Dole sites. 5. Abolition of mutual obligations system. 6. Unemployment benefit be raised to the Henderson poverty line. 7. Restoration of the Commonwealth Employment Service instead of ones like responsible for Josh's death. So I'll just repeat, there's an action, a protest by the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. For the reasons given above, given in the statement of the Unemployed Workers Union, on Friday the 17th of April from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. That's Friday the 17th of April from 1 to 2 p.m. It will be at 187 to 189 High Street, Thomastown, Victoria, so-called. That's the office of Andrew Giles, the MP, who is a Labor Minister responsible for work for the Dole. And support us in those 7 demands that we read. And if we stick together, we might actually get something done about that crime. They always say nobody should lose their life at work. And he's even being forced labour. So, and not even given the rights of a normal employee. So that's the, I'll repeat that later just to remind everybody. It's very important we stand up together against such horrible things happening. I think I'll just play a piece of music here. This is in the Yiddish language. It's called Arbeitloser Marsch. Just remembering that being opposed to the settler colonialist genocide policies does not make one anti-Semitic whatsoever. There is no relationship between the two, so I'm proud to play a Yiddish song, which is from the 1930s, called the Workers' March of the Unemployed. Here we go.
Vier Arbeitlose sehnen mir nicht gehört hat aus dem Land. In Fabrik dem Hammer klangt, liegen Kehl im Kalt vergessen. Es nimmt der Schaller sich scheint fressen, gehen mir rum in Gas. Wie die Quir im Pust und Pass, wie die Quir im Pust und Pass. Eins, zwei, drei, vier Arbeitlose sehnen mir, ohne Baguette, ohne Heim, unser Bett ist Erdenleim, hat noch wer was zu genießen, teilt man sich mit jedem Biesen, Wasser will ich wir im Wein, gießen wir in sich herein, gießen wir in sich herein. Eins, zwei,
reiterreich hier arbeitslose Szenen mir. Jahrelang die Arbeit schwer und geschafft als mehr und mehr heiser Schlösser. Städten Länder fahre heifele Verschwender. Unser Leute fahre es was. Hunger neut und arbeitlos. Hunger neut und arbeitlos. Rotte sei, marschieren wir, arbeitslose Schritt nach Schritt. Und wir singen sicher Lied von Land der Welten nahe, wo es leben Menschen freie, arbeitslos, Bein schon Hand, in dem nahen freien Land, in dem nahen freien Land.
Yes, arbeitslos ist kein Schumhand in dem neuen freien Land. In the future, we look for a world, a land, where unemployment doesn't exist. And we will talk about that. I'll try and get onto that later. But in the meantime, let's think about, you know, we're made to feel bad about being unemployed. We're harassed. Apart from the, on top of all the economic distress that unemployed people feel and what happened to Josh that we just talked about, who actually died because of unsafe working conditions. And I personally, I mentioned it last week, have experienced unsafe working conditions in Work for the Dole myself. So it's it seems amazing that it doesn't happen to more people and we need it stopped. So remember the Friday the 17th, 1 to 2pm, Andrew Giles, MP, High Street, Thomastown, protested his office. And, yes, I remember there was actually the writer who's unfortunately not with us anymore, called David Graeber, wrote about the proliferation of stupid jobs. I think, if you don't mind me saying, he called them shit jobs. But of course, that's the jobs that that might have no productive function for society at all, and seem to, you know, kill people's spirit while they do them. They're no use to society, but that's the way this system is moving. But I would add, you know, sometimes we should feel. Not feel so bad about being unemployed, at least not apart from the economic hardship that we have, because we're not having our time stolen from us in these stupid jobs. Remember, wage slavery stunts people. It promotes submissiveness. It's not healthy. And I'm going to give you a quote, actually, from Bob Black, to put it in context, I don't know how you feel about this, but I think it makes some sense and puts our position into some kind of more realistic perspective. He says, "You are what you do. If you do boring, stupid, monotonous work, chances are you'll end up boring, stupid, and monotonous. Work is a much better explanation for the creeping cretinization all around us than even such significant moronizing mechanisms as television and education." You can add from his time lots of the rubbish that people get sucked into the vortex of doom scrolling that people get sucked into these days too. People who are regimented all their lives, handed to work from school and bracketed by the family in the beginning and the nursing home in the end, are habituated into hierarchy and psychologically enslaved. their aptitude for autonomy is so atrophied that their fear of freedom is among their few rationally grounded phobias. Their obedience training at work carries over into the families they start, thus reproducing the system in more ways than one, and into politics, culture, and everything else. Once you drain the vitality from people at work, they'll likely submit to hierarchy and expertise in everything. They're used to it. That was Bob Black. One take on what working does to people. But of course, working doesn't have to be like this, surely. And it hasn't always been like this. How can we undermine this effect? How can we live differently and better, even within the confines of the world we live in, so that we're not victims of what Bob Black just described? I'm going to get onto that again in a minute. But first, I think we'll just have a little station identification, if I can find it here. Or actually a promo for a very good radio show that happens on Thursdays. Here it is.
Global Intifada, bringing you current affairs through revolutionary and protest music from around the world.
Every Thursday afternoon from 5 till 6 on 3CR.
Because music is our bomb.
You're listening to 3CR 855 AM, the voice of the community.
3CR, community radio, giving the voice to the community since 1976.
Yes, that's 50 years. Imagine that. And you can hear people say much smarter things than I'm saying, talking about today, all over the programming of this fantastic community radio station, in which you can be a part by subscribing. Go to the website, 3cr.org.au, and you can subscribe. And if you have a particular show that you'd like to support, you can give a donation as well. Yes, it's fantastic. It's been going for 50 years. Just think of that, huh? Aren't we lucky? Now, I was just talking about what the stupefying, stunting effect of work, which has a tendency to make people submissive. And just think about this continent we live on. Indigenous societies before colonization, genocide, and the privatization of the commons. Was there unemployment there? No, of course not. Such an idea would have seemed absurd to that society. And guess what? Indigenous society in this country has been around a hell of a lot longer than this mess that we're living in, which is so destructive to people and habitat, as you heard in the last Climate Action Show. One way that's been put forward that we might be able to fight back and win back our intelligence, our autonomy, and our joy of living and joy of working instead of being wage slaves, is the fighting for the commons. And I've got a little text. I don't know how much of it I'll get through, but we'll see how we go. I'll keep my eye on the clock and do read out the good bits if I can. This is called Commoning and Scarcity, by a writer called Peter Galdeluz, and it was written 14 years ago already, but still pretty relevant, right? I'll quote from him. Excuse me. The commons, are a world apart from capitalism. They are a source of livelihood that people share. Before the spread of capitalism, most of the planet was commons. Cultures that treated the commons as a gift from nature, that had to be treated with respect, tended to have the most bountiful commons and therefore the fewest problems of survival. Cultures that treated the commons as property or an exploitive resource generally exhausted them, and either brought about their own collapse or had to resort to warfare and conquest. Some of these cultures would eventually form capitalism. Capitalism creates scarcity. Capitalism has thrived by destroying or privatizing the commons wherever they arise. As long as people have access to the commons, they can enjoy a measure of self-sufficiency and cannot be forced to sell their labor to the wealthy in order to survive. For common people, capitalism is a blackmail: work or starve. The commons offer another option: self-sufficiency by harvesting the gifts of nature. Because the basis of the commons is the spontaneous gift. People who live in or of the commons often recreate the gift economy, sharing, cooperating, and helping each other out in order to attain a high standard of living. Also for this reason, the commons are the enemy of capitalism. Private accumulation, privatizing land or seizing wealth to fuel investment, industry, in a word, capitalism, is not only an early phase of capitalism, as theorized by Adam Smith. Privatization legalized theft, slavery, and the imposition of labor discipline are constant activities in every moment of capitalism, from the 15th to the 21st century. Likewise, the commons are not an ancient and outdated reality, but an ever-present possibility, and repeatedly erupts into our daily lives, contradicting capitalism's myth of scarcity. After arable land was privatized and enclosed in Europe from the 15th to the 17th centuries, in India and other colonies in the 18th and 19th centuries, and in parts of Africa today, forests, woodlands, marshes, and pastures became the principal commons because capitalism was still unable to exploit those areas effectively. In these commons, people gathered fruits, nuts, medicinal plants, fuel, and construction materials. They grazed livestock, hunted, and fished. They may not have been able to get their daily bread from the forest and pastures, but they could meet most of their other needs. Nowadays, in order to function, capitalism must base itself on an exaggerated and imprecise mass production. This creates a huge amount of garbage that capitalism is still unable to exploit effectively. This garbage is the new commons. Millions of people around the world scavenge the garbage in order to gather food, clothing, construction materials, or items that can be scrapped and sold for money. Many of the people who live in this way develop cooperative cultures based on sharing and mutual aid, relating through solidarity rather than through commercialized relations. Skills, culture, and traditional wisdom also constitute a commons. They constitute tools that help people relate with their environment, gain their livelihood, and improve their quality of life. In the past, these tools were shared within society. For about a century, capitalism has been increasingly trying to privatize knowledge and culture. Many people are resisting the privatization of the intellectual and cultural commons. Some people destroy fields of genetically modified crops owned by companies seeking to patent life itself. Some indigenous communities keep out anthropologists, biologists, and other researchers trying to catalogue and patent their traditional music, folk medicine, or heirloom seeds. And some people share their music and art through Creative Commons licenses rather than copyrights. All right. That's the introduction. I'm just going to skip to the end here. I know that was pretty dense material, but, you know, I'm talking about... I read it because it doesn't have to be this way, and there are opportunities for us to create through things like Food Not Bombs, through other ways of community gardening, etc., to create ways that make a commons for us and make us not dependent on employers, even within the world we live, and it's a way of creating an alternative right here and right now. I don't think I've got time to read anything more on that because the time has flown. And sorry for being stuck on that one, but I just remind you the AUWU Action Against Work for the Dole will be on Friday the 17th of April, 1 to 2pm, Andrew Giles MP's office, 187 to 189 High Street, Thomastown, Victoria, Australia. You have been listening to Breadline. And this is the show of the Unemployed Workers Union, brought to you this week by Hank. Maybe we'll have a more scintillating presenter next time. Also coming up is Eritrean Voice. And before Eritrean Voice starts, I'm just going to finish you off with a nice Romany song, which I'll give you the lyrics for because it's not in English, right? It's called I Travelled, Jelem Jelem. Uh-oh. Now, I'm not going to play Jelem Jelem because I forgot to bring the thing, so we'll change that. What we're going to play instead is a... I'm going to play you a little song called Die letzte Schlacht gewinnen wir, which means we will win the last fight. And the houses belong to those who live in them. The factories belong to those who work in them, and we don't need any strong man to tell us what to do and to solve our problems for us. That's the main theme of the Letzte Schlacht gewinnen wir, which is by Tonstein Scherben, I believe, German band from the 1970s. See you later, my friends.
Denn die Häuser gehören uns. Wir brauchen keine Fabrikbesitzer. Die Fabriken gehören uns. Aus den Weltkapitalisten die letzte Schlacht gewinnen wir. Scheiß die Knarre weg, Polizisten. Die rote Front und die schwarze Front sind hier. Wir sind selber stark genug, wir wissen selber, was zu tun ist, unser Kopf ist groß genug. Aus dem Weltkapitalisten, die letzte Schlacht gewinnen wir. Schmeiß die knallen Polizisten, die rote Front und die schwarze Front sind wir.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.